as I think of the whole thing of us in our Sunday school lesson, I know we could talk about that the rest of the day. And sometimes you wonder, well, why are you led to a certain scripture? And I think as this service unfolded, it probably made more sense. And I'm going to adjust a little bit, okay? So it's good to adjust. But my scripture is in Psalm 47. And I think we've sung the song already. Clap your hands, all you people. But we're not going to do that. But praising the King of all the earth is the title of my message. And according to some commentators, this psalm may have been written by King Hezekiah. That was some people's idea. Or it was some king who had experienced a triumph. But as I thought of that, I thought of us experiencing triumph over sin. And as I think especially of the first verse of chapter 8 in Romans, there is now, therefore, no condemnation. And I think that probably all of us battle with that. That whole idea of no condemnation. No means no. Kind of like it was shared in our Sunday school that the stop means stop for the school buses. But no means there's no condemnation. And in some ways, it's nothing that I do that earns me that freedom from condemnation. And so we have reason to clap our hands. And clapping our hands is something that is universal, isn't it? In every language. There's no boundaries. Clapping our hands probably signifies it's either an applause or it's to get attention. Sometimes people have done that. Clap our hands to get people's attention, but it's in some ways it's an agreement to what has happened. It's an applause, and we're just going to take the time to read Psalm 47, 1-9, and I'm not going to make a lot of comments. I do have a responsive reading that I wasn't even going to do till last night. I thought, well, this was shared in Kansas when we were there. And so I thought, I think I'm going to do that. And so I'll read this chapter, make a few comments, and then we'll go into the responsive reading and we'll see where we're at time-wise. But I'm just amazed again at how God works. And I just say bless you for sharing. That is, to me, that is really something that lifts my spirits when people share experiences, and all of us have experiences that we can share. Psalm 47, 1-9, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is awesome. We sang about that a little bit ago. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. And I don't know. I don't know if this scripture is as familiar to us as maybe Psalm 46 or Psalm 48. And it's a possibility that these three were written together. Psalm 46 is God is my refuge and strength. And then Psalm 48 is great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And I guess that's my theme this morning, is that we give credit to God, who is the King of all the earth. And we're not that familiar with, or we don't use that term probably, King in America that much. We use the term president, of course. But there are still, if I remember correctly, I searched this, there's probably still about 26 kings in the world who rule over about 43 countries, I think it is, who still refer to themselves as kings. Some kings are, we know, like in Britain, they're kind of just a figurative person, and yet they get a lot of money from the government as well. But yeah, anyway, be that as it may. But the term king is the highest person. And we sing a lot about the king in our singing. King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. And who am I that a king should bleed and die for? Recently I heard a song, I'm a child of the king, his royal blood now flows through my veins. But as we are children of the king, spiritually speaking, our allegiance is a part of our awe. And even in our, as I think of our Sunday school lesson today, verse 1 says, there's no more condemnation for those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I know that some manuscripts did not include that, but it is something that we will do as the Spirit lives in us. I'd like for Aaron to bring up there we go. Okay. And this is a responsive reading, and I'm trying to think if maybe if you don't get it, I'll just cue you in on that, okay? Okay. Our thoughts of you, O Lord, have been too small, too few, for seldom have we considered how specific in the exercising of your authority, extending as it does into the myriad particulars of creation. And as creation hurtles toward its liberation and redemption, the full implications, if I get it right here, the full implications of your deep lordship are yet to be revealed to countless faces unconsidered. And our thoughts of you, O Lord, have been too small, too few. The old and impotent gods our ancestors once believed in were at their best, but imperfect pictures of you, whose strength and goodness and creative majesty and wonderful mystery and love exceed those old rumors as sunlight exceeds the tiny dimness of the stars reflected in a dark, wavering pool. The fairy tales crafted by our old cultures hinted at you, though they knew it not. Yet their perfect princes and blessed ends were yearnings for all that has found fulfillment in you. You are the monarch of meadows, the lord of lava fields, ruler of the desert wastes, the polar king, the rainbow king, the king of the southern cross, the king of the northern lights.
You are the king of the rabbits and the lord of tall trees. You are the god of youth and the god of age. You are the acorn king, the river god, the swamp king, king of glades, king of dells, ruler of all hummingbirds.
You are the horse lord, the crag king, lord of the bees, king of the walruses, commander of rhinos, lord of the lightning bugs. You are the captain of the clouds, the wolf king, the king of the cockatoos. For your claim over creation is vast. You are the lord of the Antarctica, the king of California, the king of Scottish Hills, and the king of the Nile.
You are the weaver of the unseen fabrics of the world. You are the lord of the atoms, the ruler of the electrons, the lord of gravity, and the king of quarks.
Your dominion enfolds the earth and rises beyond it to further extremes of the stars. You are lord of the vast empty spaces. You are the king of the constellations, the black hole king, lord of novas exploding, lord of speeding light, high king of galaxies, king of Orion, and king of the moon. You are the god of justice, the god of wisdom, the god of mercy, and the god of redemption. All of this is true, but our thoughts of you are still too few, for our minds are too small to conceive of them all, let alone to contain them. You are Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Lord Jesus Christ, our King of everything.
Amen. I don't know what went through your mind as we were looking at that. We know that when you think of God being the King of the Sun and the King of the Moon, we don't worship the God of the sun, but yet we do, because he is God of everything. He is the king of everything. And I think that we often want to put the king of the universe in a box. Part of the reason that I thought of this song kind of kept running through my mind. By Natalie Grant, King of the World. I tried to fit you in the walls inside my mind. I tried to keep you safely in between the lines. I tried to put you in the box that I've designed. I tried to pull you down so we were eye to eye. And then the chorus goes, when did I forget that you've always been the King of the World? I tried to take life back right out of the hands of the King of the World. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget that you've always been the King of the World? And then, just a whisper of your voice contained the seas. So who am I to try to take the lead? Still I run ahead and think I'm strong enough when you're the one who made me from dust. And I think, I know that I'm guilty of trying to put God in a box with boundaries of how we think he should be, how we think that life should be. And we forget that God has always been the king of the world. And I know that as we think of our spiritual part of the kingdom, we know that we live in a two-kingdom world, and that that our kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said it. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. And yet, there are verses that talk about the fact that Jesus, or that God, is the king of the rulers of the earth. And he's in charge and probably controls those things much more than what we ever even have an idea what's going on. And so sometimes we talk about the leaders of our country in a negative way. And part of it is because we don't agree with maybe with the way things are operated. And yet, as I think of the fact that God controls the leaders and he puts them in place for his purpose, we also know that this world is not going to stand forever. Hallelujah, right? And but in our journey of life, I think it's tremendously important for us to realize that there is a lot of deception in this day and age. And so it's important for us to be aware of those things and to not just look at them as harumph. That's not going to happen to us. But it's important for us to be engaged in knowing who the king is, who the king of our life is, and who the king of the world is, and how do we give our lives to that king. And Colossians 1:12-18 are kind of a scripture that kind of goes with the reading that we had. And we're familiar with that. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. And then it says, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And so it's important for us in our lives to give that honor, that glory to Christ the King. How do I give my life to the King of Kings, submitting to Jesus as our King? And I'm not going to read this whole thing, but Tony Evans has a few things that if you want to look it up online, submitting to Jesus as our King by Tony Evans. I'm just going to read the last couple of paragraphs. Jesus is King. Yet, like the Israelites of his day, we often praise him one moment only to seek to crucify him the next. Why? Because we don't mind him being king by name as long as he is not king by authority. It's pretty neat to call Jesus Christ the King. But if we consider him king by authority, and by that He's king of my life. And that's so much easier said than done. Because we don't mind him being king by name as long as he's not king by authority. We don't mind Jesus carrying around the title as long as he's not telling us what to do. Friend, let me explain something about Jesus' kingdom. It's not a democracy. He's not asking for your vote. He's not seeking your permission. He declares what gets done, how things run, and what the goals of his kingdom will be. We tap into his power, covering, and strength when we learn how to honor him as king. And that's what we want to do, I think, in our life. We want to tap into that power by us honoring him as king of our life. In Revelation 22, 3 and 4, it says this, "There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb of God will be in it. And his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on his foreheads." Revelation 15, 3 says this, "And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations.'" And this is in Luke 22:29-30. "Just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." To be a joint heir with Jesus Christ is probably one of the most difficult things for me to fathom, that I'm a joint heir with the same privileges, and I share those privileges with Jesus. And I think that's why, as I thought of that song, "His royal blood now flows through my veins. I'm a child of the King." Question is, why do we not dwell in that and live as children of the King? Because I think that's part of our battle in life, isn't it? To just rest in the fact that the forgiveness of God it's sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And the things that probably cause me to be anxious and worrisome are when I start focusing on my own abilities and on my own strength. But as I lend myself to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then I can truly experience what it means to be a child of the King. And in Revelation 3:21 says, "He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." I don't know about you, but that's awesome. To sit on the throne of Jesus, I don't think we desire for that. And yet it's a gift that God grants us because of what the blood of Jesus has done for us. Well, I hope that this has been just a small taste of how we are to honor Christ the King, and realizing that someday he will return, not riding on this little colt of a donkey, but he's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And to me, that's exciting. We then, as ambassadors of the King, are to share that news with others. And that's one of the things that Dave was talking about, as you shared. Our lives are going to portray something. And that's the challenge as we go through our daily walk of life. How do we portray? What kind of ambassadors are we for Jesus Christ? So that's the challenge that I leave with you, is live as the King's ambassadors. And let his glory be reflected by your life. Let's pause for a word of prayer. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us and directs our lives. And we thank you for the fact that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I pray that as we go through life, that we would allow you to truly be our King, to truly rule and reign over our hearts, that we would allow you to sit on our throne, as it were. King of my life, I crown thee now, and thine shall the glory be. I pray, God, that as we go from here, that you would give us the strength that we need. And if there are people today here who are doubting your ability to save to the uttermost, I pray, God, that you would just reveal that to their hearts, that it is the only way to live. It is the only way that we can have freedom. It is the only way that we can live in peace. So we ask that you would direct us as we go from here. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.